I have to admit something. Until recently, I was the guy that made fun of my boss because he had to hold everything out here. Have you noticed my Bible got bigger? And these are right here just in case I can't hold it far enough away from me. Funny how things catch up with you, isn't it? I know as it was really interesting. We were reading, and I forget the passage. I should have looked it up. I didn't. But we were reading through 1 Corinthians, and toward the end of it, Paul tells them, "In malice be babes." And I thought, well, I wish we were all that way. I struggle for that myself. And I talked to my girls and said, you know, what's that mean? I said, you're teenagers now. When you get mad at someone, how long does that last? And one of them said, well, forever. And she was teasing. I said, but toddlers, when they get angry with one another, how long do they stay angry? And the other kid said, well, about 2 seconds. I said, that's about right. And it made me think about that and this. In malice be babes, and I believe that's what he was trying to tell us. We need to be forgiving, and it's not always easy, is it? We're going to disagree on some things. We're going to get upset with one another. Me and Terry may just completely disagree on the chairs or the pews or the color of either one. I don't think we do, but we could. And that'd be okay because, you know what, that doesn't matter, does it? And it'd be okay even if it was something that mattered, because we're still brothers in Christ and we need to work on that, right? Now, me and Terry, we're good. If we weren't, I wouldn't bring it up. If you would, turn to Acts 15. And these are just some thoughts. We go through some changes, you know, with a preacher and chairs and different things that will affect us. And we need to keep some of these thoughts in mind. Acts 15, verses 36 through 41. If I can't hold it far enough, I'll put my reading glasses on. We'll be good. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them. He departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. I think sometimes when we read that, we read it that, you know, Paul, the Paul and Mark part, and there's something there. But it says about Paul and Barnabas, the contention was so sharp among them, they went different directions, didn't they? Let's keep that in mind. Brethren, we have to determine what is most beneficial to the work. And when I say to the work, I'm talking about Marshfield, Missouri, the work of the Lord. What is most beneficial here? And it has nothing to do with green pews, gray chairs, painting the front white, expanding the bathrooms, paving the parking lot. It doesn't have anything to do with that, does it? Those are neat things, they're nice things, and it's nice when we can be comfortable in worshiping the Lord. But when it comes down to it, I know we've said it, and I don't want to do it today, but we can worship out in that parking lot, can't we? I'll offer my garage before we go out there. We need to determine what is the most beneficial thing for the work that needs to be done. Paul determined not to take Mark with them. That was his decision. They disagreed, Paul and Barnabas. They part company. And they still do the work that needed done. They disagreed on something. They did part company. But they went out exhorting the brethren, uplifting the brethren, doing what they had determined to do in the first place. Now, when we think about this, well, we have to ask, well, how's that done when Paul didn't take Mark? Again, brother, sometimes we will not agree. Careful talking about my wife. She's not here. They're visiting, you know, Watermill, boyfriend stuff, you know, with Bree. We've been married 25 and a half years. And did you know we still don't always agree? Some of you, I see you chuckling. You've been married longer than that because you know. In fact, I've known people 50, 60, 70 years almost. And they still don't agree on everything. Brethren, shouldn't we expect, since we don't all live in the same household, we're not always going to agree? Shouldn't we just expect that? And yet sometimes we get so upset, and we're going to see the kind of a different picture with Paul. Sometimes we get so upset that we never get over it. Right? And quite often it's over things that don't matter. Now, if anyone, and I've said this in the past, if anyone is sitting there going, well, he's talking to me. No, you know what? I put lessons together thinking about this guy right here, what he needs to hear, and I hope it applies to you too. I'm looking at me. Paul expresses his feelings, and it's very clear. It says the contention was so sharp. They argued over this. It doesn't say, well, they didn't agree on it. It says the contention was so sharp. They had very strong feelings about it. Barnabas is saying, he's a good helper. Paul's saying, yes, but he left us, and he didn't go with us on the work when we went before. So Barnabas thinks it's a good idea to take him. He feels confident enough that he splits off and he goes in a different direction, taking Mark with him. I want someone, not really, but I want you to think, what sin is involved? Does the Scripture ever tell us that if you disagree, then that's sinful? Does it tell us that if we argue, that's sinful? Is it sinful if we get angry with one another? It can become sinful, can it? They disagreed on what would be expedient. And they go different directions. Rather, we can disagree on different issues. Things especially of expediency. things that I've mentioned, the order of worship. I have seen congregation, I've seen individuals get really upset because the men or the elders wanted to change the order of worship. Or the time of worship. There are some things. One example, one congregation wanted to change the time of their worship because they couldn't afford to put air conditioning in their building, and summers were hot. So they wanted an earlier worship time for comfort. Does it matter? Not really, does it? As we look at Paul, we think about him, it doesn't seem like he's holding bad feelings toward Mark. In fact, in 2 Timothy 4:11, he says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you. Bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." So later on, he says, "I need Mark." In that, he's seen a benefit to using Mark in the work. And he asked for him by name. Rather, when we think about the Lord's work, we need to consider what really is important. What's really worth getting upset about? What's really worth disagreeing over? And how we handle ourselves. And let's make it personal. I have to think about how I conduct myself because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not just a random group of people gathered together. And each of us, we need to treat each other like we would our physical brothers and sisters. Mark had given a reason for Paul's decision. Maybe he wasn't mature enough. Wasn't ready yet. But when he is ready, Paul thinks he's ready, he sends for him. I have had times, one example, I had one time when a congregation wouldn't hire me because I was too young. And it bugged me. And I get to thinking about this all these years later now. And the more I think about it, I think, you know what? They were probably right. They knew it. I didn't know it yet. It's easy to let things get under our skin, let them get to us and bug us. But if someone asks someone else to do something, to go with them, maybe they're seeing something in me that I don't see. Maybe I'm not knowledgeable enough. Maybe I don't have the maturity yet. There are certain things that we wouldn't want to send a weak brother or sister into the midst of. Galatians 6:1 says, "If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." If I was to ask everyone here, which of you are spiritual? I would guess that most of us would probably raise our hand. Because I think I'm spiritual and strong, does that mean that I am? And so if a brother is going to talk to someone who is then caught up in a sin, and they don't ask me along, maybe they see that I'm not ready to handle that. I might think that I am. that ugly word pride that gets in the way sometimes, doesn't it? And it's hard to get past. When we look at this situation with Paul and Barnabas and Mark, Silas, in that case, they did what was best for the Lord's kingdom. Each of us, we need to ask, am I willing to do what is best for the Lord's kingdom right here in Marshfield, Missouri? They didn't deviate from their task in their disagreement. They went on. It tells us where they went. Paul and Silas went to Syria and Cilicia. Barnabas and Mark went to Cyprus. What is best for the Lord's kingdom right here? The answer is the same thing they were doing. They went out to exhort, to strengthen, to confirm, to build up those congregations, the places that they had been before. What we need to do is work on building ourselves up spiritually. So it might be the case then, next time someone goes to talk to a brother or sister that's caught in a sin, and I'm asked along, and we all need to point that finger at ourselves. When a decision that affects the congregation comes up, I am spiritually mature enough to make proper decision. You know, part of that includes being here anytime we can. I know there are some that are sick and not able to get out. I understand that. But being here every time that you can get in the doors. When we look back at the early church and I look at them and I compare myself and I feel like I fall short. Acts 2:46 and 47, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the church, or the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When I think about them and I compare myself, that's where I need to be, and I'm not. And we meet Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Sometimes we have a meeting. That's a lot. Right? But the early brethren, they were so excited. They met every day. And brethren, when I say I put a lesson together, I'm always thinking of me. But and all of us, have I lost that excitement? Every one of us need to ask ourselves that question. Have I lost that same excitement? I know at times in my life I have. And I have to work to get it built up again. They were excited that their sins had been forgiven. They're excited because we live under a new covenant with new promises, and it's so much greater even than what we had. They're excited because they got to see the culmination of what God had planned for all these years, fulfilled in the Messiah, Jesus. They prayed together. They sang together. They ate their meals together. They were studying together. They spent time with each other. Part of that confirming is making sure that we stay on the straight and narrow. Brother, we do that by the classes that are going on, making it every time that we can to be with one another. When you look at James 5, James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Confess your faults one to another. How easy is it? And I don't know what anyone else's struggle is, what you're struggling with, what Satan throws at you every day. I don't know that. I know my own struggles, my own battles. How many years were you married to your spouse before you were able to open up some of your deepest, darkest struggles? Think about that. When we only spend a few hours a week with each other, do we ever get close enough that we are willing and able, trusting in each other enough to do that? To confess our faults one to another. Think about it. How much time does it take until you trust someone with something that you don't want anyone else to know? Isn't that what we're told to do? We need to spend more time with each other to build up that trust, that confidence, that love. And we need to be a people that others can trust. I need to be an individual, a person that people can trust. We each should be counselors for one another. I can't help it. We were watching Willy Wonka, the new one. Well, I've seen them both, the new one. And Willy Wonka, he's got these thoughts on his brain, and he's got one of the Oompa Loompas, who's his counselor. And he sits there and he spills his heart out, and the Oompa Loompa, he's writing. Doesn't say a word. Keeps writing. Willie just keeps talking. And he works all this out in his mind himself. And he looks over and he says, "You're good." And the Oompa Loompa hasn't said anything. One of the greatest things that I learned in counseling, brethren, it's not what you say. It's being there to listen. But again, we need to be close enough, spend enough time with each other that people want to talk and open up. We need to be there for one another. We will disagree on things. And when we are not as close as we need to be, when we have disagreements, you know what happens? Then this becomes this. And we don't want that. When we're close and we are the family that we should be, when we have disagreements, this stays here. We might not agree on things, but this is still here. it isn't easy being a Christian. It's not. It's worth it. It's not easy. And we need to make sure we don't fool each other and fool ourselves, I guess, into thinking that we don't need each other, because we do. I need every one of you. And this congregation needs to work and keep moving forward in exhorting one another, confirming, strengthening, building each other up. And it takes work. And it takes patience. My wife still hasn't figured out that I'm always right. We're not always going to agree. And that's okay. Let's keep working on spending time in God's Word, spending time with one another. Let's start building up that trust and confidence in one another so that we stay right here as one. Might be the case that you have a need tonight, whether it's prayers of the congregation, putting on Jesus Christ in baptism. I know this hasn't been the kind of lesson for that kind of invitation, but if you have a need, please come. Let it be known. Let's all stand and sing.